Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one...
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
This is...
Who are you?
I'm Al Craig. Pleased to meet you.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Tick, tick, boom.
Now...
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party!
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, everyone.
Morning. Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Some of my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Tick, tick, boom.
Well, good morning, Boston. It is not the Greg Hill Show today. Instead, it is a full four-hour edition of Mego and Shime here on WEEI, taking you through on this Memorial Day Monday. The sun is already peeking out this morning.
Is it?
It's very rare on
We've
a weekday that I get to see the sunrise.
Yeah.
So driving in and the sun peeking out was kind of nice this morning, I got to tell you.
Okay, question. First of all, when I left my house this morning, my dog looked like, you know, that infamous picture of Aaron Rodgers with his
helmet. With the helmet half off?
Half off.
Absolutely.
And the turf sticking out. That was my dog looking up like, what are you doing? Is all melatonin created the same?
Are you
a melatonin guy?
Never been, no.
Have you ever tried it? Have you ever, be honest, have you ever experimented with melatonin?
I did when I was in my late teens, early 20s, because I was having issues sleeping.
That's where the experimental phase is.
Yeah. Because I was having trouble sleeping. Ever since I got this job, I've never needed to take it, no.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. You're chronically sleep deprived.
Yeah.
I took it last night, and we switched to this different, I like the melatonin gummies.
Okay.
And
delightful.
We switched to a different type over the last week, just went out and that was what was in stock. And the nightmares I've been having are like full blown night terrors. So I am not rested. I did not get a restful night of sleep last night. It was horrible.
So you're just having these full on like melatonin induced night terrors?
It might be something that is psychological with me. I can't necessarily blame the melatonin, but I will say that Saturday night when wine was my melatonin and the alcohol lightly lulled me to sleep.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't have the nightmares that I had last night.
So I'm curious what kind of nightmares, because I know some people, especially like my fiance, has a lot of like anxiety nightmares.
Mm.
When I have a nightmare, it is, fun fact about me, I have had one of the same nightmares recurring in my life for the last 15 to 20 years. And I've had it over 100 times.
What is it?
It's very simple. I come out of this like woods into a perfectly circular clearing.
Cool. Wait, this is an alien abduction memory, isn't it?
No. It has nothing. It's not even close.
Okay. It's already starting to sound like a UFO.
At the center of this opening, or like just kind of
clearing.
Wide open space clearing. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Is a like a lightish blue house, like two-story, like almost like farmhouse.
I'm getting chills. This is
creepy.
And
there is a really old car parked outside, tarp half on, tarp half off. And then I walk through grass that is much too tall and kind of dead, so it's that yellow weedish color. And I walk up into the front door. I walk through the door, and there's a child standing there in the middle of the room.
What is this?
That says, come play with me.
No.
Run, turns around the corner and runs up the stairs. And when you go up the stairs, you can then run around the child runs around a corner and it's like a wall. So like they kind of like disappear. And so then I proceed to follow said child up the stairs. And as I turn the corner, a giant man with a hatchet is lowering said hatchet into me. And he is like it is like straight out of a horror movie, big hulking gentleman with a plaid shirt and a potato sack on his head. And then I wake up.
You have this dream?
I have had this exact dream over 100 times. To the point where I could give you like details on that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you just gave a lot of details.
Yeah. I've had that same dream. And I've actually told this story years and years and years ago on the one of the old afternoon programs.
Okay.
During Kiefer Madness.
What did they diagnose you?
So they tried to decipher my dream. as an anxiety dream. But the thing is
that's
like
a nightmare. There's a difference between anxiety dreams and nightmares, where anxiety dreams we all have, oh my God, I actually never dropped that class and now I have to take the exam.
Yeah, you're late.
Yeah, I don't know the locker code to my, or the combination to my locker. Like, we all have those.
Mm-hmm.
That is a full-blown nightmare. And my nightmares are much more like scattershot. It's more just like images and different scenes happening. It's not chronological like that.
Yeah, it's very rare that I have a nightmare that isn't that. Like, if I have a nightmare, that's the nightmare I have generally. There's occasions where it's not, but most times.
Are you like a woo-woo person? Do you think it's something that could be from like a former life or
no,
something?
No, I think it's
a
like
past life.
I think it's like a childhood trauma thing of like,
what?
Yeah, like of, no, like of me watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre too young, and then also my love of a television show like Supernatural, and then the combination of the two things into one.
I don't think I have like reoccurring characters, but I have had at least two dreams about a man with no hands. And I don't know what that means, but that's a scary nightmare that I have.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So not like scary movie, Take My Strong Hand, like straight up no hands.
No. Like bloody
no
hands.
Like bloody stumps. Oh,
bloody
interesting.
No hands. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's scary.
Jackson, I feel like you're someone who has had many crazy dreams in his life. Where do you stand on nightmares? Do they mean anything? Are they just a figment of your imagination?
Oh, I think it's a mix of both. I think they definitely mean something, but I do think that you take stuff from the world that scares you and kind of manifest it when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And like, I do have the anxiety nightmare. I have a recurring nightmare where I go to back to my 10th grade math class after skipping for like 3 months and just having the teacher look at me like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. So
that actually did happen.
Like as Mego said, like that's like an anxiety dream.
I used to have lacrosse practice anxiety dreams.
Yeah.
For years and years after college. Like, oh,
am I
don't
weird
have my
that
stick?
I've never had an anxiety dream like that? Like I've never.
No, you're weird because of the nightmare.
Well, did you ever skip school and skip class?
I mean, sometimes, especially in college. Yeah, quite a bit. But
college is different.
I never stressed.
You know what I never have
I try
what
not
I
to
never
stress.
Have anxiety dreams about? This job.
I do. I have anxiety dreams about it all the time. You know exactly what happens. I can't hit a button or something doesn't play and Greg just goes ballistic.
Goes nuclear?
Yeah.
Explodes.
I had a dream once that I got kicked off NBC Sports Boston for dancing to Nelly's Shake Your Tail Feather.
Oh,
live
great song.
On air.
That's a banger.
And they were like, we can't afford this song.
Yeah.
Why would you play that?
So many copyright issues.
Yeah,
we're going to face lawsuits. You're fired.
It wasn't my dancing. It was the copyright issue that really got me. So they were like, you got to go. You're not allowed back on here. And it was the big boss there, Kevin Miller, was like very angry at me about this.
That's hilarious.
Which Kevin Miller is one of the nicest people. It would never happen.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had like an anxiety dream like that. I've had nightmares. And then I tend to have like very weird dreams that are almost, that I almost end up kind of like lucid dreaming a little bit.
I've never done that.
Yeah, I do quite a bit.
I've had dreams where I know I'm like half awake, but I'm always just like, wake up, get out of this. I have a lot of tooth dreams too. That's a major one.
Teeth falling out, super
anxiety.
Yeah,
if your teeth break, your teeth fall out.
I had that for the first time the other day. Like my teeth were like breaking in my dream.
Yeah, that means
really
you're stressed.
Scary.
That means you're really stressed.
So I've had I have had an anxiety dream before because that has happened to me once or twice before.
Also,
it's like
a big
teeth
fear
are just like
mine.
Breaking.
And also, I don't know about you, but I grind my teeth a lot in my sleep to the point where I sleep with my mouth open. Huge surprise because I have huge teeth. And then in the middle of the night, I'm like a snapping turtle, or I'll just like chomp shut.
So,
and sometimes it'll be loud, and it'll wake up my husband because it's like sleeping. I do terrible things in my sleep, but yeah.
Jeez.
I do. I laugh in my sleep. I talk.
Really?
I do that too. I laugh in my sleep a lot.
I talk in my sleep, like babble nonsense.
As a
out
kid,
loud.
I used to talk in my sleep a lot. I'd have to ask my fiance if I still do that or not.
My fiance talks in swear yard. She speaks in tongues.
Yeah, like, no, you never say anything that makes any sense.
No,
she's
never
fast and weird and creepy. I actually have a recording of it. Maybe we can play that at some point. It's hilarious.
Let's get her permission before you do that, so she can name your fiance.
It's all right.
It's like, nobody
cares. It's fine.
It's Memorial Day. It's 6 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about dreams for the first 10 minutes of the show.
Oh, who cares? I love dreams. I think dreams are so interesting because I think there's so many different ways you can analyze
so
them and break them down.
I think that you can go to, hey, this is the mood that you're in, or you're very unsettled or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that you can take that away from it. The imagery of it and things like that, I don't think means anything.
See, well, so I... you say that, but like then I think about this nightmare that I've had. To be completely exact, I have had it 113 times.
I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, and, well, and so that's my thing.
Wait,
is
that
like,
sounds clinical.
I've never met anybody that has had that like a same dream that many times.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
You should see somebody. Maybe like somebody at Harvard can study you if they're allowed to.
So like the one time I ever talked to a like a psychologist,
they did you
were
bring
like,
it up?
Yeah, I mentioned it, but they didn't really want to.
And
talk
they were
about
just
that.
Like trauma. It's
they,
trauma.
Yeah, well, they no, they didn't even like. He just kind of pushed past it, and he really wanted to talk about my dead grandfather. And aww. I'm like that's great, and I appreciate that.
That
and I'm working like through good, my emotions.
That
but,
sounds like a good therapist, though.
Yeah,
if he's like,
I
who
really
cares about the
there.
Dreams?
You know what you should do? You should type a description of the dream into ChatGPT and see what it says.
I have thought about turning it into a short story.
It
just because, just because I know so many of the details, and every time I have it, I try like since I've gotten older, I try to find new details throughout it, like as I'm kind of like walking through the nightmare, and that way I can kind of like put more pieces together and stuff like that. But
I still think it's an alien abduction. It's a memory that you've suppressed, and they're trying to make it seem like, oh, it's a little child because it's something that's innocent.
I mean, the aliens could be little, too. So, like, it could just
That's what I mean. I think that they just, like, have disguised it that way.
So, and maybe then, maybe I've met the aliens, and they've wiped it, like, Men in Black style, wiped it from my memory.
That's another thing that I've never met, somebody who actually feels that they had an alien abduction. Like, how many...
Oh,
how
there's
much
plenty
the,
of people out there.
How much of the poppy... But you've never met someone, right?
Who've no, at that's least been, that's admitted felt like they, it they've to been abducted? No,
yeah.
That's true.
I always wonder, because when I was younger, like, probably middle school, I was so into all those shows... on the History Channel.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the History Channel pivoted away from World War II to just aliens all
Ancient
the time.
Ancient Aliens was an unreal program.
But it was very confusing to me because it was the History Channel, which my dad watched all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is basically journalism
when
I was a kid. I thought, this is journalism.
Big J
this
journalism,
is,
the History Channel.
It would be like Hitler's secrets. And it was these horrible programs about World War II. And they were basically one step away from Ken Burns documentaries. So I thought, this is real. It's World War II all the time. And then all of a sudden it was aliens, so I also thought, this is real.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And now I look back on it, and I think that was a lot of nice opportunities for paid actors who were trying to get their start.
My favorite guy is like the guy with the crazy hair, the meme from the Ancient Aliens television show. Have you ever seen this guy?
No, but I have watched that a lot.
It's tremendous.
That guy's a BS artist.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, of
course. Hot takes.
Well, hold on. I think that there is... some real, like, not evidence, but there's a real possibility that aliens could have influenced earlier societies of the world. Like, I 100% think that that's plausible.
You like, think when you, Book of Revelations is, like,
based on alien encounters? No. I don't think that part of the Bible is based on alien encounters. But, like, the way the Greeks would talk about the gods coming down off of Mount Olympus, or, like, how do you explain how the pyramids were built, or stuff like that. Like, I think, like, there's ways you could tie in aliens and alien technology to that. Like, I think that there's...
It was on the History Channel. It has to be real.
Exactly, right? Everything on the History Channel has to be real.
Does the History Channel still make new programming?
That's a good question. I don't really know.
I know cable TV is kind of like in a tight spot these days.
Yeah, it's in a weird spot. Outside
but you think
of, like,
History Channel would be the channel that would survive everybody, because it would be... Like, my parents ask if I am doing something, especially if it's a YouTube-based show that I did for the Celtics. It took them a while to understand what that was.
Yeah, they didn't really get the YouTube shows.
No, they didn't get it for a little while, and then they got it, and they were able to search it and understand it. But, I mean, they were like, YouTube is for funny clips. Like, how is there a show on there? But whenever I say, like, oh, I'm going to be on this, they're like, what channel is that? I'm like, I don't know.
It's not a channel anymore. We stream
things,
parents.
You guys are in Maine. I don't know what channel it is in Maine. Like, look it up.
I'm shocked they have internet.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I don't know what this is. But so I think History Channel would still survive, because they'd be like, oh, yes, it's 263, History Channel. It will be there till the end of time.
Yeah. It's so weird that we've kind of gone away from that now, too. Like, it's just... Like, you used to memorize all the television channels, and now it's
like memorizing phone numbers.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I had to type in a television channel number.
Mm-mm. Anyway, this has been Mego and Chime.
Yeah, this is Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We're taking you right up until 10 a.m. this morning, talking all about dreams and the History Channel and aliens. We'll talk about it all today. Who cares? It's a wonderful day. We're going to have fun. But it is also Memorial Day. So for those of you out there who have served this country, thank you. We also encourage you to take that moment today to remember those that lost their lives, giving the ultimate sacrifice by fighting for this country and our freedoms and our ability to talk about aliens and nightmares and things of that nature here on this radio
all
program.
All our stupid crap.
So, yes, all of our stupid crap. So thank you to everyone who has served and who gave their lives serving for this country. We are greatly appreciative. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in today. That's the call-in number as well as the text line number. Text line already working today. Mego, you should try magnesium, not melatonin.
Is
according to a 507.
Somebody told me about something that you like rub on the bottom of your feet, but I think maybe they were just trying to get me to sell pictures.
So no, that's definitely possible, but I also think that there is a thing that you can rub on. It might be magnesium that you could also rub on the bottom of your feet.
I think it was
feet,
like a magnesium cream, and I just go, I'm not taking... very nice, but I'm not taking tips from the internet about rubbing stuff on my feet. Thank you very much.
So we will actually get into the Boston Red Sox like we were going to originally here to start the program. Marcelo Meyer made his debut.
Sorry, melatonin took us off.
That's totally okay. My nightmare took us off. It was a whole tangent here in the first segment, but that's okay. We'll get into the Boston Red Sox coming up next year on Mego and Chime, but right now, let's get you caught up with what is trending around the world of sports.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Red Sox fell to the Orioles yesterday 5-1, ended up splitting the four-game series. Marcelo Meyer ended up 2-for-4 with a run scored in his second career start. The Sox are out in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers this afternoon. First pitch is at 2:10 right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game for you for that one. Joe Weil has the MassMutual pregame show at 1:10. MassMutual Insurance Planning Investments. The Knicks overcame a 20-point deficit in Game 3 against the Pacers to get their first win in the series in the Eastern Conference Finals of the NBA playoffs. They now trail the Pacers in that series 2-1. Oklahoma City and Minnesota face off in Game 4 of their series tonight. Tip-off for that one is at 8:30. OKC currently leads that series 2-1. The Edmonton Oilers beat the Dallas Stars 6-1 yesterday afternoon to take a 2-1 series lead in the West Finals of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Panthers look to close out the East Finals as they host the Hurricanes tonight. Puck drop is at 8. Trending now is brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Maloney did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. Mega and Shine here on Boston Sports Radio. Yeah, Jackson, you trying to put us back to sleep?
No, I mean aliens, space, space oddity.
That's fair, I guess. We couldn't play Shake Your Tail Feather?
No, I cannot play. I'm not playing a Diddy song. I'm not getting
it's
in that
Nelly
hot water.
Song.
It's a Nelly
it's
song.
It's a Diddy song featuring Nelly.
I always thought it was a Nelly song, but that's just me.
All right, fair enough.
I'm not giving that guy any credit for anything.
Okay, there you go. Jackson takes a stand on Diddy songs. That's fine. Respect. Either way, it's Mego and Chime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show on a Memorial Day Monday. We'll be with you all the way up until 10 a.m. this morning. A lot of fun to be had on this program. We've already been talking about aliens and nightmares and melatonin-induced anxiety dreams.
Magnesium.
All the things. If you have a great way to help Mego sleep at night, let her know. Feel free to call in. Tell us. But Mego, one of the things we did want to get into before we get to the leads coming up here in about 5 or 6 minutes is the Boston Red Sox this weekend faced off against the Baltimore Orioles. Started off well, won the first two games of the series, then dropped the next two. But the more important thing to see is that Marcelo Meyer made his debut for this team. He got called up for game two of that doubleheader on Saturday afternoon. I thought the video of him finding out from, I think it's Chad Tracy, is the AAA manager, was awesome. I thought that was such a, it was, he gave him the old okey-doke, said, you know, it's going to be hard for you to play here. We're going to have you sit out, but it's going to be hard when you're active and starting in Boston.
Ooh, so nice. Little swerve.
Absolutely. So it was great to see him out there, and it kind of starts that countdown clock for Roman Anthony. But I'm curious if you believe, now that Marcelo Meyer is a part of the big league club, if this is going to be a permanent fixture, because the Alex Bregman injury seems to be worse than we anticipated. Alex Cora even mentioned that it's similar to his 2021 quad injury that kept him out for 50 games. So if that's the case with this injury, with Alex Bregman, he's going to be out a substantial amount of time. Do you expect Marcelo Meyer to be starting on almost a daily basis?
I do. I think that they're in a position where they need him. They need his bat, too.
100%.
He was... cold in the first game. He couldn't even find his keys to get out of Worcester.
Yeah,
he was
a mess.
It's like he was fine defensively, and then he got up to the plate, had a big chance, and couldn't close the game. That's whatever. It's his first start in the
MLB. And then in his second game, he went 2 for 4, had
exactly.
a single, a double.
So I think they need his bat, and I think that with Bregman out, maybe like it seems like if it's comparable to 2021, it's going to be 2 months. So You're going to keep this kid around. And maybe it'll be a little bit of the spark that the team needs, because the lack of consistency, the lack of any momentum with this club, I think people got a little over their skis with that 19-5 mm-hmm. win.
On Thursday.
To start out the weekend. It's like it was the Orioles, my Orioles, who are the worst team in the division. And you got hits against a position player on the mound. You can't really take that as, oh, we found something here.
Yeah.
And a 5-5 homestand, they needed a lot more at this point. It does feel like they're at a little bit of a point where they could go like a crossroads. And yeah. I know that feels crazy to say when it's not June yet, but they've hit the skids with a couple of bad injuries. Tristan Casas, now Alex Bregman. These are two critical pieces, especially of your offense. And so if you get Meyer in here in a real way day after day and he turns into something, I think that's the kind of momentum builder that Cora has to ride to get something going with this team.
And it's especially sad because you're getting decent pitching performances from your starters. Walker Buehler yesterday, he only went 5, but he only gave up 2 runs. You just couldn't supply any kind of run support. And then even Giolito's last start, what was that, Saturday, was good. Like, he had a great start. You just, again, you could not supply any run support. And that becomes an issue for this team. Having lost Tristan Casas, who you counted on so much entering the season, and he struggled mightily. And then Alex Bregman now, who was one of the major focal points of this offense, is now could be out for, like you said, 2 months. That is a massive deal. It seems like, right now at least, Rafael Devers is the only guy producing at the plate for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And that's a major issue.
Yeah, which is a big problem. Going back to Tristan Casas, like, yeah, he was having a bad season offensively, but you didn't think that that was going to continue.
No, you thought
he was going to figure it out. So now I think that just it's very early in the season for them to be pivoting, but maybe this is the way that it always had to happen. We heard from smart baseball minds that it was going to take injuries to open up something at the major league level to bring these guys up. So now the clock is ticking, as you said, for Roman Anthony, but hopefully Meyer starts showing more of what he showed yesterday and you can ride that a little bit. And the identity of this team, I think, is going to have to go young.
100%.
I think that's where they're going to have to go, at least for these middle months of the season. And you just have to come to grips with that. And okay, this is who you're going to be.
Yeah. It's exciting to think that Roman Anthony could end up here on the major league squad sooner rather than later. Had a home run this weekend out in Worcester, an absolute just laser beam into right center field for a home run for him in Worcester. And so, having Marcelo Meyer already on this team, Christian Campbell made the opening day roster, then you add in Roman Anthony, you're right. It is an injection of young talent that also could help them. If this pitching is able to continue now into and through the summer, if these guys can come in and give you any kind of offensive production, you immediately find yourself kind of, you know, taking a step forward, getting a little bit better, maybe getting yourself above 500 and being able to actually stay there. Because right now, it feels like they are just kind of teetering on a high wire. Like, oh, we're either going to absolutely collapse and fall on our face, or we could take a major step forward and really become a legitimate contender here coming down the street.
Well, I just don't really get the approach with the bullpen right now. It's Alex Cora, Andrew Bailey, whoever you want to put it on. The staff is putting the bullpen in such a tough position
every day,
where everybody made a big deal out of the Garrett Crochet short start during the last week. And it's because Chris Smith had this stat from Mass Live over that 10-game homestand. Starters have pitched fewer than five innings in six of those last 10 games. Fewer than five innings. So they're not even going five. And I don't really understand how you think that that's going to be sustainable in any way. And you're having to pull up Zach Kelly from Worcester, and already it's like, again, we're not even into June.
Especially when a guy like Crochet is standing up there and like, yeah, I'll throw 157 and pitches. Let the dog eat.
Yeah, you're thinking about August, fine. Yep. You're thinking about September and who he's going to be then. But really what I think Cora is thinking about is his obsession with winning series. And it's to him, I wonder, like, how much is it even about the record, especially when your division is as bad as it is? How much is it about your record being just about 500? And how much is it, hey, we already won that series. We already took two out of three games. So I'm going to yank Crochet here because it's not worth it.
Yeah, but like, they weren't even able to take three or four against the Orioles, mm-hmm. who have 18 wins on the season so far. Like, that's not, you need to be more aggressive. And I think, With your starting pitching doing as well as they have been recently, you need to take advantage of that while you can, because that may not always be the case into July and into August. Again, injuries are a thing. Those things happen, and I know you want to look ahead and try and keep them rested for the playoff run, but you have to get to the playoffs first. You have to be there in order to have a playoff run. And so while a guy like Crochet or like Giolito is pitching really well, allow them to go deeper in the games. Don't tax your bullpen so much. Maybe in, you know, July, your bullpen may need to carry you, and those guys can only go 4 2/3 or four innings or maybe just five. And then you do that. Like, it's just, it seems counterproductive to me to pull guys that are having a lot of success and rely on a bullpen who has been completely hit or miss.
Yeah, I think what concerns me the most about this team right now is they don't really seem to have a strategy.
No.
Like a perspective.
They're just like flying by the seat of their pants.
Exactly. It's like, okay, so we're hitting now and Raffy's super hot, so we're just going to lean on that offensively. I mean, of course you do that. That's your best player. But then it's like, okay, we're managing our starters through all this, even though they're pitching really well, and putting the bullpen in stuff such a tough spot. And you listen to Alex Cora talk about it, and Cora's like, yeah, 5-5. I guess that's where we're supposed to, where we are, what we deserve right now, because one day it's our pitching and the next day it's our offense, and then it's our pitching and then it's our offense. Like, one is clicking and the other's not. And it's like, well, what? Isn't that your job to figure out the reason for
Might
that?
Be.
Isn't that your job to pull the levers? Like, you got all this talent that ownership has finally given you. They actually pay for your roster, and you're supposed to have these levers. And again, I understand there's a couple serious injuries here, but that doesn't account for the pitching. Like, that doesn't account for you, Yankee. It's almost like he's like, seems worried about letting these pitchers go beyond five innings, or just like 5.1, as it was with Crochet earlier in the week.
He's just petrified of like them getting hurt and then it entirely ruining the season, which I don't really understand, especially for a guy who just got a, what, 3-year contract extension? Like, dude, you should be worried about making the playoffs. That should be your number one goal. However you get there, whether Garrett Crochet gets hurt along the way or is a Cy Young candidate, it shouldn't really matter. You should be focused on making sure your team is winning as many games as possible and getting into the playoffs. That should be your number one goal. Not just hovering around 500 and trying to keep everybody healthy. It's, let's make the freaking playoffs. You have not appeared in the playoffs since 2021. You need a meaningful playoff run. That's what you need. To have everybody back in on the Red Sox, you need to be in the playoffs and competing. That's what you need.
I just feel like outside of Crochet and Devers, who are the two people that you would like write down in pen 100%. About having a good season, they haven't really found anything this season.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That they can lean on night after night. And then Crochet is a starter, so lean on when he's starting.
Every 5 days.
Exactly.
617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show on Memorial Day Monday. But right now, it's time to get to the leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
Yep. Good job. Great song, too. Were you a big Blink 182 fan?
I was, but I think I ruined them for myself.
Oh, really? Why?
I was so into them when I was like 12 years old, 13 years old. I probably went to like 3 or 4 concerts.
Nice.
I was like really into them. And now it just reminds me of being like, I don't know. I just.
Being an emotional, like, preteen?
Yeah. And no, not in like a good way, though.
Yeah,
like,
I get that.
I've heard you guys talk about this before about this idea that the music that you listen to in high school is like your favorite genre for all time. I listen to a lot of different genres, so I don't think I can just like jump on one. That one, I think it just sounds corny to me.
Interesting.
Like, okay. Blink 182. I'll have fun with it, but it just sounds corny to me because I'm like, that was my like 7th grade music.
Yeah. That,
if that makes sense.
No, that's fair. Like that to me, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I look at it like Creed was that for me, and I still love Creed.
Yeah, and Creed, but Creed is intentionally corny.
True. Yeah, and you have to embrace the corniness. Like that's
when,
the whole point.
When people get really emotional over like emotional Blink 182 songs, I think this is what I was being all emo about, looking out the window in the back of my parents' nice SUV as I was coming home from lacrosse practice.
I wasn't good enough today in lacrosse practice.
Just being like, oh, I can't believe she didn't invite me to that slumber party, you know, like stupid stuff.
Well, the leads today are brought to you by Subaru of New England. Let love bloom in a brand new 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. We will begin with the man behind the glass, Jackson Burns, today.
I'm nervous.
Yeah. Jackson, what is your lead this morning?
Well, and surprisingly, it's going to be a little bit sporty.
Oh, okay. Let's hear
so,
it.
So on this Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend, obviously, I'm grateful to all the military and their families, and especially my cousin Bob, a Vietnam veteran. But so I'm thinking about just being, you know, gracious in general. And yesterday, my buddies and I, we get together once a year and we do a golf tournament, 20 different people. And it's people I see once a year. And it's one of the best days of the year for me. And it just shows how golf brings people together. You know, there's 20 of us, different ages, different races, different colors, different everybody. And it's the game of golf is so great because it brings everybody, no matter where you're from, together. And
or how good you are, like
always
me.
Fun.
I'm like, is this a troll?
I was waiting for it, but it's okay. No, that's Jackson. Excellent lead.
Yeah, no, I mean it's Memorial Day weekend, so I'm thankful, obviously, to the troops, but just thankful for life in general in America. You know, USA.
Yeah,
let's go.
Good stuff.
Shime,
all right.
Do you think that you could beat Jackson at golf?
I played pretty damn well yesterday.
I don't know. I guess that would be tough.
Okay. We got to clear this up.
What?
Did you get stage fright? What's going on? Was it performance anxiety, or was that more indicative of how you actually
played? When you went down the cliff, that was a symbolism for what was happening.
Yeah,
I think that freaked you out a little bit.
Yeah, I was just, I got in my head a lot, that's for sure. I was not prepared to play on that day. That's my own fault. Like, I just,
did you eat something weird?
No. Like, I just, like, I hadn't played recently. Like, I hadn't really kind of, you know, worked out the kinks from, the early season swing. Because I went out and played later that week and I played great. Like, I didn't play, my standards of great, which is, you know, shooting in the 90s. Like, I'm not shooting par anymore.
You were rusty.
No, I'm not, like, a little bit. There was a little rust to it. But again, like, it's my own fault for not being well enough prepared.
I'm just asking the explanation.
I underestimated Greg.
Oh, so when you guys got, because I was wondering if it was one of two things or maybe it was a combination of this. Mm-hmm. When you got out there and you realize, I'm not a golfer, so I don't really know, like, what the feeling is. But I imagine it's similar to when I was in Christian Fourier's shooting competition.
Oh, the basketball.
And it's like, I'm a major flop sweater. And like when I realize that it's not going in for me, it's done. Like mentally, I'm done.
Yeah.
There's no coming. There's no recovery. I'm the opposite. I'm like Mac Jones. Like if I throw a pick, there's going to be three picks after that. Like there's no coming back.
It's just a barrage.
I am not a goldfish.
Got it.
The opposite.
Yeah, you're not Linus Olmark.
I'm basically like, all right, bring out the shovel, bury me. I'm burying myself. So I'm wondering if you were that way where it's like, okay, you shank one.
Yep.
So then you shank another. And then all of a sudden, it's just Shank City. And on the other side, you see Greg, I would imagine, is doing the opposite of that some capacity.
Well,
he's just calm, like steady par golfer, whatever.
Yeah, just poking it down the fairway, getting it on the green, two putting, like doing his thing. And like that. And I guess I wasn't prepared for that. I went in. I was a little overconfident. I'm like, this guy stinks. I could be able to wipe the floor with him. Like, I'll just show up and play, and it's no big deal. And that was not the case. He is just very – if there's one thing he is very consistent. And, again, it's just like poke right down the fairway, poke right down the edge of the fairway. He just keeps the ball moving down the course and then gets on the green in one or two putts, and then, you know, you just kind of have to – and I was like, oh, I can make up all this distance in one shot, and then I'd, you know, chunk it or top it or do something stupid.
How long has it taken for you to get over it? Are you over it yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm over it.
Were you feeling a little sheepish for like an hour after getting like post-golf drinks? Or was it you knew, okay, the next day is going to be this? Like, how long did it take you to move on?
I'm not Scottie Scheffler, so I know that like there's going to be some days where I am the worst golfer on the planet, and there's going to be other days where
I'm
pretty good.
Seems like it was that
day. Yeah. It was, as one of the gentlemen at Granite Link said, it was a bad day to have a bad day. And that's it. It is what it is. Add a bad day, we'll bounce back. We'll be stronger for next time. I'm not worried.
So when did you get over it? Immediately?
Yeah, not like immediately, but like 45 minutes afterward. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty quick recovery.
Yeah, I had like a buffalo tender, and I'm like, oh, I'm good.
And then you felt right. Better.
Yeah.
That's good. That's very healthy.
Yeah.
I guess when you're dealing with 113 nightmares of a clearing with a little house and like monsters in it, you have to learn to be mentally elastic.
Yeah, I'm dealing with a lot more, you know, I think people in general deal with a lot more in their life than losing a golf match to somebody.
Okay,
they work with.
But look, with sports and being competitive people,
I am
it's
super
okay.
competitive, and that's the thing.
It's okay to be like, for me, because I know that I'm not bouncing back, I know that I've screwed up and that I know myself and this is the path we're going down, that I have already gotten over it. When it's over, I'm
there
like, oh, I knew in the moment this was over.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, here we are.
Yeah, like Curtis then challenged me because he thinks I'm just like the worst golfer on the planet, and I am going to mop the ever-loving floor with Curtis.
So you're going back in.
Oh, yeah.
When is this happening?
I don't know. We haven't set a date for it, but I'll.
Can I come this time?
Yeah, of course.
I'll be a cheerleader.
Excellent. Let's do it.
Which I know people love in golf is when people are loud when you're teeing off.
And I think that's one of the other things. I was very much prepared for the Wiggy heckling the entire time we were playing.
Oh, so
he
it's
did
Wiggy's
not
fault.
Show up.
Oh, so it's Wiggy's fault.
He didn't
fault.
Show up until I had already lost. I was just mentally prepared for it. I was ready for it because I like the heckling. I, unlike others, think it's totally okay to heckle during golf because I feed off of that stuff. I enjoy that stuff. And there was none of it because Wiggy didn't show up until I had already lost.
But that's not your lead. We'll get to that on
the
other
day. Yeah. We'll get to the lead. Another tangent there, but great lead by Jackson. We'll get into Mego's lead, my lead coming up next year. It's Mego and Scheim filling in for the Greg Hill Show on Memorial Day Monday. Mego and Scheim here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, filling in for the Greg Hill Show this morning, taking you up until 10 a.m. We were right in the middle of leads, though. So, Mego, what is your lead this morning?
My lead is Red Sox focus. So I was looking for this audio. I couldn't find it anywhere. So don't worry, Jackson. Couldn't find the audio. But it was a quote from Alex Cora after the loss yesterday. And they went 2-2 against the Orioles. And they went 5-5 on this homestand. Now they're heading out to Milwaukee. Alex Cora said, "You guys know how I feel about 10-game win streaks. We haven't done that in a while. When you get on a hot streak, you want to get 8 games over 500, 10 games over 500. So we're still playing where we're at, an average team. And hopefully when we get our streak, we can get to 8 games over 500 and then take off." So I started thinking, how long has it been since the Red Sox had a 10-game win streak? He says it's been a while. What would you guess?
2021.
2018.
What?
Since 2018.
So the year they won the World Series.
That was the last time. Like, Cora went through, he won a World Series, he went through a suspension, we went through the pandemic, and then he had one more postseason appearance with the for the Red Sox, and then we're here today. And so I looked around the rest of the division to see, well, it's a 10-game win streak. That's a long winning streak. Other teams in your division.
Let me guess.
When's the last time?
Two of the three of them have had them in the last calendar year.
No. But I'll go through and I'll let you know.
Okay.
So this is 10 or more. So some of these are like 11, 12, 13. Yankees, 2022.
Okay.
Not super recent, but still 4 years after you. Orioles, 2022.
Okay.
Same. Rays, 2023. Okay. And Toronto was just earlier this month, May 2025. It started on May 9th. So where I'm going with this is what's frustrating to me is I don't think Alex Cora is doing a great job communicating, and the Red Sox communication overall has been abysmal from the outside to the inside. I don't think Alex Cora is doing a great job communicating like small goals that will build up to a big goal of getting to the playoffs. This team doesn't really seem to have any direction, doesn't really seem to have an identity, and even something like, hey, a 10-game win streak, he talks about it like it's something that he harps on every single season, and yet they haven't done it since 2018. So it's not just about, hey, being in the World Series, getting to the postseason, because you haven't been doing that since, I mean, you have the one pop in 2021, but you haven't been doing that since 2018. Even something where he goes, you guys know that I care about the 10-game win streak. He's talking to the media after the game. You guys know me. You talk to me basically every freaking day. You know how much this means to me. And he hasn't been able to get it done since 2018. It's like, wait, the follow through here, the inconsistency of this organization and this particular group, it just feels like Groundhog's Day. And it's just frustrating because I think it's mediocrity that is largely accepted here and everybody grouses about it. And you can't look at the payroll anymore and say, well, it's ownership's fault. I think you have to start looking at other people around, from the players on the field to the manager.
Excellent lead, Mega. Well done. My lead, I'm actually going to go Celtics lead today.
Woo!
Yeah, a little bit of Celtics for you. So Jaylen Brown had a pop-up over the weekend for a 7-4-1 performance.
He's been doing that over by the Garden.
Yep. He showed up with his grandfather, Willie, to the event. And he got Noah Dalzell. Is that how you say that?
Dalzell,
last name?
Yes.
Yep. Had a couple quotes from Jaylen that I thought were interesting. He talked about wanting to be in the community this offseason more. Normally, with his off seasons, he's not generally in the city of Boston as much. Like last year, he went right to the Middle East following the championship win. And so he has done a lot of other things outside of the city of Boston. But this year says he wants to be involved in the city more, in the community more. And I think it's a clear indication, a clear sign that people like the Jermaine Wigginses of the world, who want you to entertain the idea of trading for a player like Giannis or something of that ilk, that's not happening. It is going to be Jaylen Brown's team next year while Jason Tatum recovers from his Achilles tendon injury, and he is going to be the focal point of this team. He wouldn't make such an effort to care about the city of Boston and being part of the community if he had zero intention or zero belief that he was going to be involved in the community 12 months from now. And so I believe that this is a clear indication that Jaylen Brown is going to be a part of this Boston Celtics team very much for the future, very much going forward, which means that there's going to have to be changes elsewhere, which means ultimately it looks like guys like Porzingis, guys like Jrue Holiday, guys like Derek White are going to have to in some way become expendable in order to meet that luxury tax threshold that we've talked about 1,000 times, the apron that we've talked about 1,000 times, and you're not going to trade someone like Jaylen Brown. This is Jaylen Brown's team. They're going to want to, quote unquote, compete next year, but just more so just be competitive. It's not going to be a let's compete for an NBA title next year, knowing Jason Tatum's out for basically the entirety of the season. But it's an opportunity for Jaylen Brown to take the next step forward in his career and really kind of ingrain himself within the community and within the city in a way he hasn't felt he has thus far.
I like that. And I know we have some sound from Jaylen Brown that we're going to play later in the show to talk about that. The thing with Jaylen is he's always involved or has once again been involved in these trade rumors because he's clearly the second most valuable piece on the team. And so I think people who yearn very much for a drastic makeover because they feel so disappointed by the early exit from the Celtics are looking at Jaylen and going, well, that's the piece that will flip and we'll get a Giannis or we'll get the number two pick from San Antonio or something very valuable. But I just think that Jaylen is still more valuable than any of the assets that are really on the table right now. And I would guess that I would assume that the Celtics feel the same way.
And I
think they would feel that way even if Tatum was healthy this next season. A lot of people, you know, 2 days after Tatum gets out of surgery, were saying to me, just asking like, hey, don't you think now Jaylen's definitely safe? And I'd say, I thought he was safe. Anything's possible, but I thought he was safe before that. And I would pencil Derek White in there too, just because his contract is so friendly. And again, what assets are you getting back that are going to be as good for Tatum?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going for in this in-between season that we're going into next year that are better than Derek White?
Yeah.
And he's got a great contract.
And I also kind of just look at it, and I look at that game last night, and I had even texted you. I'm like, how did the Celtics lose to this Knicks team? Because, like, if next season...
Well, you saw it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you saw what they can do sometimes.
Yeah.
And Karl Anthony Towns didn't really show up against the Celtics in the same way.
True. And so I guess I just look at it like this. I think that with some superficial changes and the ability to get under that apron, and even without Jason Tatum, like, you can compete against this Knicks team in the playoffs next year. You can compete against this Pacers team in the playoffs next year with Jaylen Brown leading the charge. And so, like, this is not going to be 2025-26. That season is not going to be just some throwaway. The Celtics are still going to compete. They're still going to work their asses off to be as good as they possibly can and to make it as deep into the playoffs as they can, even without Jason Tatum. And to me, Jaylen Brown will be the focal point of that.
I agree.
617-779-7937. Mega and Shime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show. That's the leads for this morning. We'll continue with some reaction to the leads. We'll get your calls as well. And we'll also touch on... update maybe from about Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. Pablo Torre did some more investigative journalism recently, so we'll get into that coming up next year. It's Mego and Shime filling in for the Greg Hill Show.